Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
There's no
hope you enjoyed my video. Thank you so much for watching. Make sure to like. Make sure to like. Subscribe to my channel and drop me a comment right now. Love y'all.
That was Charlie Wilson, and that was a duet with Charlie Wilson and Smokey Robinson, All of My Love. And please support them legendary singers. Smokey been around before Charlie was even a thought, but they are both iconic singers. And anyway, this is authoress Terry Lyle, and I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle and my sidekick, Chris Michael Ward. And tonight, our guest is going to be so informative for a lot of reasons. I'm going to wait and tell you why. But we're going to talk about money as an energy game. But before we bring on Mrs. Peg, I want to say hello to my co-host. How are you, Chris?
I'm good, Terry. Happy Juneteenth.
Yes, well, that's tomorrow. Well, thank you. Yes, people need to understand Juneteenth has now been signed into a legal federal holiday. Praise God. We're finally getting some recognition for freedom from slavery, even though in the state of Texas they stayed slaves for three additional years before anyone told them in 1865. So there's a little bit of history. But, yes, I can't wait to celebrate, but I'm going to do it low-key. I'm going to just go to the pool tomorrow, okay? But without further ado, this beautiful woman, my guest, Peg Donahue, how are you doing? And thank you for being here on a Friday.
I'm doing well, Terry and Chris. It's really a pleasure to join you this evening.
Well, bless your heart. We so appreciate you because, you know, on a Friday, people, they got a lot of things they try to do because they work all during the week. And so for you to spend time, you know, with us, it's a blessing, and we so appreciate it. We don't take it lightly. So we need to explain to everyone, north and south, east and west, and all my global listeners in 33 countries, thank you for tuning in. But if you want to talk to my guest, dial 347-945-6003 and hit the 1 key, and I'll open up your mic. But if not, you can stay where you are and just listen. That's fine, too. But tonight, our guest is going to talk about money as an energy game. And so hold on to your hats, and she's going to share with us how to harness the energy that will bring you money and prosperity. And so with that being said, I throw it over to you, Peg.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Terry.
You're welcome,
so my co-author and I, Madeline Gerwick, put this book together after we had been teaching some programs for several years. We had developed a program called 8 Keys to the Ultimately Prosperous Business. Then we developed and taught a program called Conscious Language. And then a third set of programs, take an energy inventory for prosperity. So all of our work together, our collaborative efforts, have been about prosperity and teaching people how to cultivate prosperity for yourself. So we work in the world of energy. I work with feng shui, which is just the energy of your space, the premises that your space, that your house, your office, wherever you are, that the quality of energy in that space, or the quality of what we call chi, is a reflection of your inner self. And then Madeline works with good timing, doing things in tune with the universe. So when to take action and when to hold back, so to speak.
Okay, well,
we're
not
going to
talk about Madeline and her skills because we got you all to ourselves, so we're going to keep
awesome.
It focus on you.
Okay, so energy.
So it's about energy and our space and our environment that we are in. Now, people going through this pandemic, I heard that some people utilized that time and they created a lucrative business by having all that time on their hands, and some people you know, just fell off, you know, got depressed and, you know, had, you know, the bad side of it, you know, being confined, you know. So how, coming from this phase, can we turn around the energy that is still kind of negative now that we got the India variant of the COVID-19
sure.
Out and people are still scared because I'm a little concerned myself, even though I've been vaccinated.
Sure. Well, the first thing is to decide what it is that you really want. What I find is many people are very skilled at expressing things in terms of what they don't want. I don't want this. I don't want that. I don't want to get sick. You know, I don't want to have an empty bank account, that sort of thing. We're very skilled at saying what we don't want. And then I often listen to that and I say, okay, you just told me what you don't want. Now, what do you want? And then it's like they stop in their tracks and think and say, you know what? I don't know. And I say, okay, that's a great place to begin, recognizing. Yeah, because if you don't know what you want, then it's never going to come to you. More of what you don't want will come, because the universe doesn't hear the don'ts. It just hears, you know, all the words in between the don'ts. I don't want to be sick, so it hears sick. I don't want to be poor, so it hears poor. I don't want to have, bad relationships. So it hears bad relationships. The don'ts, just get canceled out. So it's really, really important to focus on what you do want. Now, what happens is, if you listen to the stories you tell and the words you say, you'll get an idea of the beliefs that you're holding. And our beliefs get encoded in our cells. So they sit well below your mind. And you may not even be conscious of what you're holding there. But think back and look back to the stories that came from your parents and your grandparents and your siblings and your cousins, the stories that you grew up with. Were they positive? Were they negative? You know, what were the messages there? Particularly, what were the messages about prosperity? Or what were the messages about money?
Mm-hmm.
Were the messages that, oh my gosh, it's money is hard to come by. Money is scarce. Money runs away from you. Or, something always happens. You might get some money, but something always happens, meaning you lose it. So it's important to recognize those stories or those beliefs. And in the book, it's in chapter 2 of the book, I have a link to a release to help you shift away from money blocks, help you shift away from, constrictions that your money has on you that you're holding in your cells. And these are very common beliefs about money. So if you have the Kindle version, you can just click the link. If you have a paper copy of the book, you can just type it into your browser. It will take you to a 45-minute recording on the web, and this is a service I do with people, where you tap away fears. You tap away beliefs that are not working for you. And it's highly effective. Okay. It really, really is. And you can do it as many times as you want.
Well, Peg, I want to ask you more about that, but I'm going to let Chris ask this question first because
sure.
I was going to ask you about, is there something that you can help me and Chris with while you was going to be on the air, but I'm going to let him ask this question first.
Go right ahead.
Okay. All right, Peg. My first question is, I went on the website for the book, and I was reading the the three chapters that are on there, the little link things that you have on there. And my question is it fair to say that this book is about positive thinking? And if it is fair to say, can you give us some examples of how that has helped in your life?
It is about positive thinking. Not only about positive thinking, it's about living your life with positive intentions in a positive way. I guess I have been told all my life that I'm a very positive person, so much so that I grew up in a large family. I have 8 brothers and sisters. And I remember through the years, some of my siblings would tell me, you just don't get it. You have things so easy. And so that's a result of positive thinking and taking positive action, is that things flow more easily for you. And resilience. You build resilience. So, yes, you fall down, but you can get up. And that's what my dad used to say. You just have to get up one more time, then you fall down. So you build a positive... What's that?
I know one thing people used to say, my parents used to say to us when we were small, and I kind of wish they didn't do that because it sticks in my head now. And one of the things is eat everything on your plate. And now, as an adult, it's hard not to eat everything on your plate. And what is wrong about that is that now I'm eating to complete what's on my plate, not eating to be full. And that is why a lot of people out there is overweight, because we got to eat everything on our plate because people in Africa don't have food to eat, you know. And we haven't been trained to eat, put on smaller portions on our plate. We were just trained, eat everything that's on your plate, you know. And I can't shake that. I don't care how much I try, you know. I feel like if I put it up there, I got to eat it.
I identify with that. I grew up with those same sayings, including the little children in Africa that have nothing to eat.
Oh, yeah.
And not to belittle that situation at all. So so then I would say put less on your plate to begin with and only choose food that you really like and really enjoy. And so put food on your plate that you're really going to like and do it in small increments and so you can eat that. So one of the things in the book, in part three of the book, we have a program called Take an Energy Inventory for Prosperity. So mm-hmm. And it's about 6 weeks, and you can start at any time or any place. One of those weeks is about food, and all it is about noticing your patterns with food. So you just mark down what you eat and when you eat, and then you reflect on how you feel, maybe 15 minutes, a half an hour, you know, after the meal and all that. And you just do that for a week. All you do is note what you eat and connect it to your energy patterns, how you're feeling. And we do that for sleep, because sleep is really important. We do it for food. We do it for exercise and movement. And so even if you can't move a lot in your life, you know, there are some things that you can do, you know, different movements or different exercises. And so we just track those. We do it for thoughts and thinking. We do it for feelings and also for spirituality. So, you know, getting back to Chris's question about positive thinking, yes, a lot in this book is about taking a positive approach to life. More importantly, it is about letting go of your negative thoughts and your negative patterns and your negative habits and turning them around so that you do have a positive outlook. Because when you do that, then the energy is uplifting and it's open and it's wide, and more benefit will come to you and more prosperous situations will come to you, and quite frankly, more happiness will come to you. Versus if you're always in a negative mode, you're always focused on what's wrong, what's not working, woe is me. That's what I call a downward spiral. And that is, you know, just a quick way down. And once you're down in the dumps, it takes a bit of focus and energy to turn that around, to say, bring yourself to neutral first and then go upward from there. So there's go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Peg.
I was going to talk about tipping point. Now, Malcolm Gladwell did some work around this, and Barbara Fredrickson also mentions it in her book called Positivity, that there's a tipping point of 3-1, to have three times as many positive experiences as negative ones. So if you find yourself telling a negative story or, you know, having a negative, you know, saying or habit, then strive to have three times as many positive ones as that negative one to turn that around.
Okay. Now, I have this problem, and I'll try to shake it, but it must be, I don't know, something I'm having a hard time doing. And what it is, I do things to excess. Like, I love fruit, but I'll go buy a bag of fruit or grapes or something, and I'll sit there and suck them down like it's candy, and then tell myself, well, you're not eating candy, but it's still a lot of sugar in that, you know, or I'll buy snacks for my dog. And you're supposed to give it to them when they do something that they, you know, did something right. But, you know, as long as they want it, I'm giving it to them. You know, like my grandson, if I think he wants something, I just do stuff to excess. And then I tell myself, well, God will provide. But he'd be saying, I provide for your behind. But what you do, you give it all away. You spend it all out. What's the matter with you?
So maybe, like, when you're eating that fruit, maybe just take out a few pieces and have that. Like, right before I came on the show tonight, I had some fresh strawberries. Strawberries are native in our area right now. I know in your area they probably come out much, you know, months ago. But in June, this is our strawberry season. And, oh, my goodness, did they taste great. They were fresh and juicy and just full of life and full of vitality.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you want in your food. You want food, preferably, that's grown local, you know, as much as you can, and that it just exudes a vibrancy. That's really what you want. You want to feel that life force in your food. And and that's healthy food. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Chris, go ahead and ask your question, baby.
All right. Well, my next question is, Peg, you mentioned how you're supposed to log everything you eat and drink. And, you know, my question, not really, and I mean this with respect, of course, is like there's lots of parents who are always on the move. You know, they have like six kids and they're on the move and they may not have time to, they may not have time to track their, you know, every single thing that they eat and drink. So what's your advice on that?
For a week, well, then if that's the week that they want to focus on food, then they could do it, say, when they take a break, or do it like after a meal, or after breakfast or lunch or dinner, or just do a recap, say at night after the kids are put in bed, and just really think through, okay, what did I eat today, and just jot it down. So just do the best you can with it, and not to beat yourself up again on what you can't do. So turn it around in terms of this is what I can do. And if you take that approach with everything with your life, you know, stop or notice the I can'ts and just say, oh, that's an I can't. All right, well, what can I do? Well, I can make some notes before I go to bed at night. You know, I can have that sheet, and I'll just, jot down what I remember from the day of what I did and how I felt. That's what I can do. And you know what? That's good enough.
Okay, well, Peg, you said it is a fun sway. I remember watching a show on TV where people were house hunting, and this one lady had to make sure that when she opened the door to her new residence, she could not see steps coming right down at her, near the door, for some reason, or it had to be a red door or some kind of little situation. Like, she can have a stairwell coming around the front door, but not coming straight down because it wasn't feng shui or whatever. And I was saying, and it got to be facing east or whatever. And I really wasn't really sure, but she had a lot of stipulations in the home that she purchased, and they were talking about feng shui. It had to have this. Tell us some things that we can say that will help bring in positive energy as well, according to where we live at or according to how we got things set up, you know, because it might sound crazy, but I moved into this house, you know, I bought this house last year, moved in on Valentine's Day, and just today, I asked my grandson, why did he come in, come to the door, and you see, I'm trying to get ready for the show, calling my name and don't want nothing, and he said he didn't do that, Grandma. And then yesterday, and I'm not making this up, because I don't appreciate me, you know, but anyway, I saw him come in the room, look at me, and walk back. So I called him on the phone, because his room was on the other side of the house. I said, why would you come in my room? And then he turned back around and said, Grandma, I didn't do that. Then he came in my room last week and said, Grandma, what are you doing? I hit the door slamming real hard. And I'm laying up on the bed just watching TV. Now, what I did, I immediately prayed that if it ain't about God, I wanted out my house. You know, I said, I don't do negative energy. I only want positive energy of the light, you know, because I don't know about nothing about the previous people who used to live in this residence that I bought. And anything to tell me about that so I can keep incorporating other than me praying in this house, you know, about maintaining good vibrations up in here, because I know what I saw, and I'm not making it up, and he was adamant too. Kind of freaked me out a little bit.
Sure. There's a lot packed into that, that question. No sorries at all. So I will work to unpack it. So first of all, feng shui is the art of living in harmony or living in balance with your space. So the premise is that your environment, say your home, your office, your workspace, it's a mirror of your inside self. So it's the outer manifestation of how you're feeling on the inside. And so working with your space, what you want to strive for is to have really good, vibrant energy just meander through your space. So you want to attract what we call good chi coming to your house, and you want to have it meander throughout. So the most important areas in your house are your front door, your master bedroom, your kitchen, and also wherever you spend the most time. And so beginning at your front door, it's great to have a curvy walkway up to your entrance if you can. If you have a straight walkway, then you may be able to introduce some curved energy through gardening and through plants. Ideally, to have a pathway that's wide enough for two people to walk side by side on so that you can meander up to the front door. And then keep your front door in great shape. Come out and sweep it, you know, regularly. Mm-hmm. Use it. I live in New England, and in this area of the country, we have back doors. Friends and family come to the back door. You know, the front door is hardly ever used. And so that that's just traditional. But so that's the case. If you live in a house where the front door isn't used, open it up and be a guest in your own house. Come in that front door periodically and bring good energy in, or just open it up and use it to hop out and get the mail and bring it back, or get the newspaper or whatever, or, you know, welcome neighbors, but use it. And you asked a question earlier about red front doors. So red is a very powerful color. It's a protective color, and it has a lot of energy. It's a vibrant color. And red is favorable for some front doors, but not all front doors. So I caution everybody, whenever you're hearing things about feng shui, when it says always do this or never do that, you know, set your antenna on that it's not always accurate. The truth is usually somewhere in the middle of that. So, yes, red can be a very good color for, say, a northeast front door. Is very good, you know, if it's red. But I personally wouldn't want to see, you know, all doors facing northeast red. You know, there are different energies there. So I would suggest that, you know, paint your front door a color that really speaks to you, that you really like. So front door. Now, next is your master bedroom. Master bedroom is the most important because we should be spending a third of our time sleeping. That's where we go to rejuvenate ourselves and our souls. And every night when you go to sleep, your body is working to heal itself. And so you want to get, you know, really get a deep rest, a deep sleep, as deep a sleep as you can. So in your bedroom, we always advise that you put your bed in what we call a power position. So a power position is one where the bed is, say, against a solid wall, so you have support from behind you. You have open space in front, say, the larger part of the room in front. And you're not in alignment with the door, meaning the door is not at the foot of your bed. And so that's the ideal position, directly in front of the bed, so that you would be, like, to the left or the right of the door, but not, like, if you were to, if you're laying in bed and you look straight out, that door is not straight ahead, you know, with the in what we call in alignment with the bed. It can be to the left or to the right. That's the ideal. And, you know, in many times, you know, we don't have an ideal bedroom. So you do the best you can. And ideally to put the bed in a position where you have support behind you. Support ideally is from a solid wall. It could also be from a diagonal wall. If you have a window behind your bed, it's best to have a curtain that you can close to create a solid wall effect. So this is where we make adjustments all the way through to bring your space, you know, energy, you know, to raise the vibration of it energetically to make it feel better. And in your bedrooms, keep them neat and clean. If you are in the habit of just scattering clothes around, well, that is chi that can be distractive and disruptive. And also depression grows from the floor up. So be very conscious if you are in the habit of piling things up on the floor, you know, be it clothes or laundry or books or paper. It's best to clear those out, you know, regularly so that you don't have stacks of things piled up from the floor all around you. If you also use your bedroom as an office, shut down your computer at night. Yeah, a lot of people, you know, working home from home these days, and bedrooms have doubled over as offices. So you want to have a separation between your work and your sleep, also between your work and your private life. So you may do a physical separation, you know, such as, you know, just a screen. You might, you know, definitely shut down your computer at night. Put it to sleep so that you can go to sleep. Because if your work is always in front of you, it's always there, it is hard to pull away. And we need to pull it. We need to do our work, but then we also need to put it away and pull away and have our private lives. So you want to be conscious of that. And in your kitchen, you want to create a nice flow of the energies. There's a lot of fire and water energy in the kitchen between your stove and your refrigerator and your sink. Stoves are symbols of prosperity, and so you want to keep your stove in great shape. You keep it clean and use it. Keep it operational. The burners represent firing up prosperity, and the oven represents being a container for your wealth and for your prosperity. So keep your oven clean and functional, and your burners, it's good to be in the habit of using all the burners versus just using one burner.
Wow, that's some good information. So so far, I'm on track because my bedroom set in my master bedroom is against the wall, and when I look at my door to come in, it's not straight through, but I can see down the hall. It's like off-center, which is good because the other side is a patio door going off to my patio from my bedroom. Okay, my walkway is, you can walk on it, but it's like when you come up the driveway, then you walk like horizontally straight, then you come up your steps to the door. So, and my computer and stuff is in a separate room because I agree, when I'm off of that, I'm off of that. Like some people I know, they'll be on Facebook. They'll get up, be on Facebook, and go to bed like 3 o'clock in the morning on Facebook. Ain't no way, because I'm missing out on interacting with people. I like to talk to people. I like to be around people. I'm not going to sit there with my back hurting, my neck hurting, sitting there on some laptop, you know, watching other people's lives, and you don't have one, and you trolling Facebook. I don't do that, you know. God forbid. But that's
right,
pretty good.
Right. And then also in your office, so in your office, similar to your bedroom, put your desk in a power position. So again, where you have support behind you, you have open space in front, and you don't have the door directly in front of you. But you can see the door. So you can see the door, but it's not directly in front of you.
Okay, well, let me tell you how it's situated in my office. My printer, my table, laptop and everything is facing the wall, and above that is the clock. To my right, I can see, I got 3 windows, I can see it outside, my front yard and my driveway and stuff. If I spin around in my chair, I can see the door back there, you know, and then to the left, there's the bathroom. But, I'm cool because, I got space all around me. I'm good. So
okay.
I'm going to use
so,
this time in case Chris got a question about his space, you know.
Sure. So when you're facing the wall, when you sit at work and you're facing the wall, then one adjustment you could make is to put a mirror, bring a mirror in that allows you to see the door without turning around.
Okay.
And what that does is it settles your nervous system down.
You're right.
Because otherwise you're nervous. What's that?
You're absolutely right, because if I'm out in a restaurant somewhere, I will not be having my back to no door, because you're going to come in and kill me. I want to see what's coming at me. You know,
that's
and I will
right.
never do that out in public. I don't want my back to no door. I hate it. I hate it.
That's right. So the same thing goes for home and in your office. So if you are sitting with your back to the door, put a mirror so that you can see the door, and then your nervous system settles down and you relax more.
That's a good point.
So there are simple solutions to many situations. Yeah, so Chris, how's your office?
I don't really have an office. I live with my parents, and I have a bedroom, but it's like a big room, and like one part is like a living room. Like I have two chairs and a TV, and I plug my phone in with the TV, and then the other section is where the bed is and stuff. So I separate, you know, so I don't have the phone or the TV in one space. It's like one big room.
Right. So you have like a sitting. You have your bedroom part, and you have a sitting area.
Yeah.
And then do you do your work in there as well?
I work at a fast food chain, and then I do this. So I'm on my phone, but I'm on my phone. But when I'm not on my phone, I plug my phone in like where the sitting area is.
Sure. Okay. And then what's important is at night when you're going to sleep to shut down, to turn your phone off. Ideally, you know, put it on airplane mode so you're not getting all of those EMFs, you know, flying at you. And everybody should do this. You know, our health will improve when we detach from all of our technology while we're sleeping. So detach from as much of it as you can, and that will help you improve your health.
I usually just turn the volume down.
Well, okay. Well, you can. That's one way. But then the energies, the vibes are still, you know, coming through. And see what happens with cell phones. They're always pinging. They're always looking for calls. You know, searching. See, you know, is somebody trying to call you? Or are you trying to send a call out? So when you're sleeping, if your phone is in your area, just put it on airplane mode, and you'll get.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, and just see if that makes a difference if you get a deeper sleep at night.
Yeah, I wasn't arguing with you. I was just telling you what I did.
Yeah. Right? Oh no, I didn't. I didn't feel that way at all. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But a lot of people have, you know.
Chris said, he said you turn it down. You know, I've tried it one time. I've turned it down. But the stupid light, the screen light itself, when someone is trying to send me a message, it lights up, and I'll be saying, "Dad," because the room is nice and dark. And I'm trying to stay asleep. And then he kind of lights the phone. It lights up because somebody is trying to reach me.
That's why you turn the phone. That's why you turn the phone over.
Yes, and I can actually keep my my phone stays in. So my phone stays in my office at night. Yes, I don't have it in my bedroom. It just stays in my office, and you know what? I'll pick up the calls in the morning.
Yeah, I just went recently from a Samsung to an iPhone because everybody, my daughter, grandkids, they all got iPhones, and a lot of my friends, they keep saying, well, we can't look at you when we talk because they don't want to go to Facebook and they don't have a Facebook account. So I got an iPhone. It's one feature that the iPhone have that the Samsung didn't have. It's a little button that you press up, and it'd be like a red little line. This way, no calls can come through, you know, and that's a good thing because it blocks everything.
Yes, on my phone, if I don't recognize a number, it just goes to voicemail or goes silent. It doesn't ring through, and so that it helps you to manage, you know, and I think, you know, somebody that needs to leave a message, they'll leave a message, and I will call you right back or at my first opportunity. Yeah, yeah. But that's a good way to do it. Yeah, so paying attention to, you know, to what's going on in your space, really paying attention to your space. You know, another thing about space as it relates to prosperity is clutter. Keeping clutter, you know, minimizing clutter, always working to have your space clear and have it be well organized. Give everything a home. So clutter is anything that you don't use or you don't love. And with your energy is higher, your vibration is higher if you let that go on a regular basis. And then more importantly, really focus on what you bring in. Only bring things into your space that you love or you're going to use rather than everything or
That's
things other people
point.
Might want to
I remember you saying that depression comes from the floor up. And I have gotten so agitated when I went in my grandson's room and it wasn't clean when I went in there. And it's like it just drives me nuts to see stuff that doesn't have a space for it, you know. And,
sure.
You're right, because I get depressed because if I get this fussing, then I'm upset because I didn't want to really be fussing at him, but I wanted him just to understand, you know, I'm anal retentive about, you know, things being put away, you know, and I get depressed. I start to fuss and then I get depressed, and you're absolutely right about that. Things should have its own place and let it be in its own place.
Right. And so a couple of things, comments along those lines is, we can only take care of ourselves. We can never change another person, but we can change ourselves, and we can change our perspective about other people, and we can change our perspective about situations. So even though we do want the best for everybody, it's, people don't really appreciate if you tell them what to do or to clean up your room or whatever. And I have found, you know, kids, you got to let kids be kids. And with adults, they will do it in their own time, but they have to want to do it. So if you see something and you really want it to be different for somebody, rather than telling them what they should do or, you know, what you want them to do or you must do this, give thanks in advance silently that it's already done. Or you can journal about it. I'm so glad that my grandson is keeping his room neat and clean. Just put it out to the universe as if it has already happened and give thanks in advance. Hold the energy. Yes. And you can use this for every situation in life. So just give thanks in advance that it's already done.
Okay.
And but the important point there is you have to also let go of any beliefs or any self-talk that might be saying, but I know he's not going to do it. I know it. I just know it. He's not going to do it, because that will outweigh the good intentions that you have. Yeah. So it has to be genuine. But it's worth.
Is a mess. Sometimes it gives compliments, and sometimes it gives distasteful verbiage. But you know, yeah, you got to watch what you say out your mouth, and that is so true, because one is sweet water and one is bitter water. So.
That's right. So getting back to Chris's comment about positivity earlier is make it a habit to express things in a positive way. And that can be a challenge for some people, but it's a continual habit or a continual practice until it just happens automatically. We can express things in a positive way. For example, you know, words such as don't forget versus remember. So remember is positive. Don't forget is negative.
Okay.
Right. So if you want to remind somebody and say, remember to put your clothes away, remember to pick up your books versus now don't forget.
Okay.
See the difference in that?
Instead of don't forget.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And instead of I can't, I won't, you can say things like, I am. I am is very powerful. I am working on cultivating new habits. I am working on ending my stories on a positive note.
I
am staying away from gossip. Yes.
Sorry to say, we're running out of time, so we need to tell people. I'm going to hold you. We've got 2 minutes on the clock.
Okay, so you can get a hold of me at fengshuiconnections.com. That's F as in Frank, ENGSHUICONNECTIONS.com, fengshuiconnections.com. And you can take a look at the book at moneyisanenergygame.com. And you can get a Kindle version. You can get a paper copy. You can also download the first chapter for free. And so you can check it out. Yeah.
It's not on Amazon, because, you know, they say if you got Kindle, you usually have Amazon as well.
Yep, it is. It's up on Amazon on the Kindle. And within a few weeks or so, the paper copy should be listed on Amazon as well. The hard copy. It's not, the hard copy is just available on the book's website right now, but it will be up on Amazon eventually.
Let me tell you, you have been a blessing to be here, and like I said, any subject that you want to talk about, this is home because you've been here. Come on back home and visit your sister and your brother. You know,
all right.
Me and
Chris. Thank you. These are some of my favorite topics.
And I mean that. I'm not just saying that just to be saying it. Anytime, any topic you want to talk about, just call me, and we'll do it because, Chris, I tell you, you've had people come back on a couple of times because this is your family now.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that.
Award and let him know, and he'll let me know. And reach out to me personally.
You bet.
It's all good.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you.
And I had such a wonderful time with the both of you, Chris. You had some great questions. I like your delivery. You're doing a great job. Anybody don't know, I will not be getting no new co-host because Chris has been here long enough, and he's doing such a great job. And I want y'all to remember, stop keep bugging me. It's just me and Chris. We're a team, okay? And on that note, I'd like to say, have a great weekend, Peg. Have a great weekend, Chris.
Well, thank you. Thank you. You too. Have a great weekend.
It's home. Thank you, y'all. Y'all be good and stay safe.
You bet.
All righty.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.